5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It was supposed to be a nice weekend in the mountains. Just myself and my beloved Josh. We've been together for 5 years. We've had happy times, but lately he's been so preoccupied by his work as a biologist that we hardly spend any time together. When we did, he was often tired and only spoke of his experiments. The papers he read, papers unfinished, papers in prints, and discoveries made by others that should have been his. We've been growing more and more apart recently. I only wish he'd... let's cut the crap. Our relationship was in ruins. We hardly ever fought, but that was exactly the problem. Josh had become cold and distant. He has never been very emotional, but the way he behaved around me lately made me feel like an object. The only times his eyes lit up was when he was talking about his work. We did have sex, yes, but from his side it seemed more like a habit than pleasure. I tried to bring this up many times, but he pretended he didn't know what I was talking about. It drove me crazy. As naive as it sounds, this weekend was supposed to fix all of that. The car ride was nice. As soon as we left the highway, we were graced with the sight of majestic mountains, forests, and waterfalls. Our way led us up a small dirt road with huge trees on either side. We laughed a lot, talked about the old times, how we met, and so on. It was like a little window into a happy past. I also used to study biology. That's where I met Josh. However, unlike Josh, I dropped out after my second year. I just couldn't go on studying. Right now, I was tending to my little shop of carnivorous plants, my garden, and playing guitar in a punk rock band. Josh respected my decision, of course. However, we still talked a lot about biology. I wanted to support him in his career, if not practically, at least emotionally. Sometimes, however, I tried to change the subject. Sometimes I got bored. Sometimes, maybe, I didn't want to be reminded of what I couldn't finish. In these moments, he tried to encourage me, saying things like, "You understand more of these things than some of the professors I work with." I know he means well, but sometimes I hear a little bit of a silent reproach in his tone, as if he was disappointed in me. As I thought of all these things in the car, I became unsure if this weekend was an honest attempt to save our relationship, or if it was actually a desperate measure to mask that we were, in fact, not really together anymore. We arrived at the house. It belonged to Josh's grandpa, who used to be a hunter. It was a cute little cottage in the middle of the woods. A little run down, maybe, but it definitely had its charm. The sight of this little romantic venue made me forget my troubles again. We smiled at each other, kissed, and entered. After we started up the generator, we jumped straight into bed to enjoy some of the best sex we've had in years. At that moment, I thought that my worries had been exaggerated and that everything was going to be okay. The effect a nice holiday and good sex can have on our mood is amazing. The next day, after a healthy breakfast, we went for a hike in the woods. The forest was beautiful, and we had a lot of fun running, joking, and screwing around. At some point, Josh pointed to a small bush carrying blackberries. "Wow, look at this! Awesome!" He looked at me in the eyes as if he expected me to say something, Come on, Jenny. You know what this is. He said with a smile. I just smiled back and pointed at the cliff that was visible through the tree line. Let's go up there, I said. Okay, Josh replied, seemingly disappointed. Of course I knew what it was. Atropa belladonna, deadly nightshade. But I wasn't in the mood to earn myself a pat on the head. We walked up the cliff. The view was fantastic. We just stood there for a while, taking in nature's majesty. Then we looked at each other and smiled. It was beautiful. We watched the sun getting lower, and I noticed some distant storm clouds coming our way. Let's go back, I said, knowing there was no other way but down. Okay, Josh replied. As we turned around, he slipped on some rocks, lost his balance, and fell. He rolled down the far side of the cliff, bouncing off rocks, through bushes and branches until I couldn't see him anymore. Josh! I yelled. No answer. Josh! Then I heard some painful moaning.
Oh, Christ.
Josh, are you okay?
Yeah, I think so. It hurts like hell.
Hold on, I'm coming. I climbed down, crawling over rocks and through bushes. It took me forever to reach flat ground. I found myself standing in a dense undergrowth. Josh, where are you?
I'm over here. Come take a look at this.
When I found Josh, he was standing in a crooked way, pushing down on his bloody knee with one hand. Little bruises and small wounds covered him. Oh my God, are you okay? What happened to your leg?
I just grazed it, I think. Look.
He pointed into a hole in the side of a hill that was covered with the thick roots of the dead tree that grew above it. When I fell, I took this bush down with me, roots and all. And this opened. As we stared into it, our eyes adjusted to the dark, and we realized how deep it was. Without a word, Josh crawled inside. So I followed. After crawling through this dark and narrow birth canal, we ended up in a small chamber, just big enough for the both of us. It was cold and the air smelled funny. The walls consisted of roots and earth, which had a weird gray color. A single, thin ray of light came through somewhere in the ceiling. In the middle of the chamber, there was a thick root sticking out from the ground, its end suspended in the air on eye level. Sitting on the end of this root, illuminated by the ray of light, there was a little yellow mushroom, no bigger than a pin. It was sitting on a small green patch of moss, growing on the end of the root. The only thing of color in this dark, gray chamber. Grains of dust were calmly floating in the light. It looked almost mystical.
Wow,
Josh whispered. We carefully moved in closer, as if you would when trying to get close to a butterfly without scaring it away. With our faces only inches away, we noticed that the tiny mushroom was actually growing out of a dead ant. It looked so frail and old that you'd think it would just vanish into dust if you spoke too loudly.
Huh, it must be a cordyceps. You know, the ant zombie fungus, said Josh.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Lamella are red. And look at the little dark spots.
Josh squinted at me skeptically. He took out a small plastic bag, which he carried in case he found something interesting.
Maybe you should leave it.
Oh, come on. There's more where this one came from,
Josh said as he picked the tiny thing. As we crawled out of the hole, I couldn't hear any birds or insects. The woods were dead silent. On our way back, the sky darkened. We walked faster. Shortly before we entered our cabin, I could feel a few raindrops. About half an hour later, it started pouring down, and roars of thunder echoed throughout the mountains.
Well, that's it for our romantic evening by the lake.
Josh just sat there, staring at the mushroom.
You want to eat something? I asked.
Yeah, sure,
he answered without looking at me.
Guess I'll cook then, I thought. Dinner was quiet. Suddenly, Josh's voice pierced the silence. It's a cordyceps.
Yeah, maybe,
I replied indifferently. Oh, come on, it clearly is.
Yeah, why not?
I just wanted to have a nice dinner. You drive me crazy. It grew out of an ant's head.
Can you please put that thing away, Josh?
It's weird to find one up here. I became annoyed and laid down my fork.
It's not a cordyceps.
Of course it is.
Look at the color of the lamella, Josh. Cordyceps aren't red.
Sweetheart, you have no idea what you're talking about. I have a PhD in biology, and you...
What?
I was getting angry. You just don't know what you're talking about, okay? So just shut up. I snapped. Screw you, Josh. I threw my plate across the room. It shattered against the wall behind Josh. I can be impulsive and emotional at times, but this was a lot, even for me. With tears in my eyes, I yelled.
I just wanted to have a nice dinner with you. I listened to you jabber on and on about your work, to show interest, and all you do is just patronize and belittle me. How about Mr. Brilliant Scientist can show some interest in me for a change? How about you don't make me feel like an idiot and show me that you cared for me once in a while?
It's not my fault you quit college, Josh yelled. It's been a while since I've seen him passionate about anything other than his work.
You don't love me anymore, do you?
I do.
Then put that thing away, Josh.
Josh's expression became blank, cold even. Suddenly, he put the tiny mushroom in his mouth and ate it. A clap of thunder echoed through the air.
What?
Cordyceps aren't poisonous, Josh said stoically. I buried my face in my hands.
Oh, Jesus,
I said, exhausted. Relax, Josh said. Everything's gonna be fine. About half an hour later, Josh started to feel sick.
You shouldn't have eaten that thing,
I said. The cordyceps are perfectly safe to eat. It must have been your cooking, he said with a smile. In my anger, I had to giggle a little. He tried to tough it out, but suddenly he got up from the couch and sprinted to the bathroom. I found him there with his head in the bowl.
Are you okay?
In between spurts of vomit, he answered.
Never been better.
After he ejected dinner and hopefully most of the poison, I brought him to bed. The storm outside grew louder. As he laid there, shivering a little, I stroked his head. I'm sorry for what I said, Josh muttered.
It's okay. Me too,
I said, not knowing if I meant it or if it was just the pity talking.
You focus on getting better, okay? You'll see. You'll feel a lot better soon.
But he didn't. 2 hours and half a dozen trips to the toilet later, Josh was still lying in bed, shivering and sweating, pale as a sheet, and I was getting worried.
You're getting worse, Josh.
I'll be all right. I just need to.
Suddenly, his body shook, and he gagged again, but his stomach was empty. So all he did was cough and gasp for air in the most pitiful of ways. It was painful to even watch. Thunder struck close to the cabin with deafening noise.
Josh, listen. You've eaten a poisonous mushroom. We have got to take you to a doctor. This is serious. Look at you.
Maybe you're right. Not about the poisonous mushroom, of course. He stammered. I took out my phone to call the hospital, just to discover that I had no signal. I went and got Josh's phone. No signal either. Must have been the storm.
Josh, listen. I'm driving you to the hospital, so we're gonna have to get you up.
I struggled to get him to his feet. He felt so heavy. I was hardly able to support him as we walked to the car. It was pitch black, and the heavy wind relentlessly lashed the rain at us from all sides. As we got closer to the car, I saw that a huge tree had fallen on it. It was completely destroyed. My heart sank. My God, what am I gonna do?
I carried Josh inside and let him fall on the bed. Then I fell to the floor myself.
Okay, listen, Josh. I'm going to take care of you, all right? We'll hold out until the morning. Then we'll have a signal for sure, okay?
It's okay, honey. I don't feel sick anymore. I placed my hand on his sweaty forehead. It was so warm. He was burning up, and his heart rate was through the roof.
Josh, you have a fever.
I wet a towel with cold water and brushed it over his head. I had to think.
Okay, look, I'm going to start walking. It'll take me about 4 hours to reach the nearest town. I'll get help there, okay? You wait and try and call the hospital, okay?
Don't be silly, Jenny. It's not that bad. Besides, it's storming like crazy. You'll get lost, or worse.
I think it's the best option. I'll be all right. Just try and...
Suddenly, out of nowhere, Josh started screaming like a madman. It made me jump.
Josh, what the hell?
My head. It hurts so bad. It's so hot. It feels like I'm burning.
Josh.
He screamed again. His entire body tensed up. He tore his shirt right off his body. Josh started shaking. His eyes rolled back, and foam was coming from his mouth. He was having a seizure. I did my best to hold him down and put a book in his mouth so he wouldn't swallow his tongue. It took him over a minute to settle down. When he finally calmed down, I noticed that he had pissed himself.
My God,
I whispered.
Jenny, I'm scared,
he stammered. I was scared too, but damn sure I wasn't going to let him know that.
It'll be all right, okay? We're going to get you help, and you'll be right as rain.
Don't leave me alone, Jenny. Please.
I gulped. What was I supposed to do? I just sat there, talking to him, giving him water, wiping the sweat off of him, telling him everything was going to be all right. Then another seizure came, and another. Each time they lasted longer. The last one was so bad that he fell unconscious when it ended. I just sat there for a minute, trying to calm down. That's when I saw the bruises. They were red, blue, greenish, and gray. They didn't look like a result of an external influence, but seemed to be coming from within. Also, I could clearly see the veins under his skin. They were of a dark purple color, quite like you'd expect them to look like on a junkie's forearm, but they were running across his stomach and chest. Josh's breath was shallow, but his heart was beating normally. As he was calm now, I used the time to walk around in and outside of the house to try and catch a signal. No luck. In the kitchen, I fell to my knees and started to cry. What was happening to him? I just needed a second to cry and to despair. Only for a second. Then I heard him scream again. As I entered the room, I noticed the strange smell. Maybe it was there all the time, but I only noticed it now. It smelled funny, kind of synthetic, like if you would combine melted plastic with rotting meat and cellar odors. I knew that smell from somewhere.
I had a nightmare, Josh said, with a weak, shaky voice.
He continued.
I dreamt that I walked around the house. Everything was dark and quiet, and I felt kind of weightless. Then I saw you sleeping on the couch in the living room. I wanted to wake you up, but then I went into the bathroom to look at myself in the mirror. That there in the mirror wasn't me. It was a dark figure. His movements didn't match up with mine. I started to get really scared. I tried to turn away, but I couldn't. Suddenly, he asked, "Who are you?" And I started to scream. I've never been so scared in my life.
I didn't know what to say. I just stroked his face and tried to calm him down. A minute of silence passed. Then Josh's body started tensing up again. I threw myself on top of him to hold him down when the spasms started. But this time it was worse. I couldn't keep him down.
His twitching and shaking was so violent, it threw me off and onto the floor. Suddenly, a gush of blood spurted out of his nose and onto me. I screamed. Josh tensed up really badly, his body contorted in the most unnatural of ways. Suddenly, I heard the sound of snapping bones. His fingers broke under the intense pressure of his tightened muscles. Then I heard it coming from his elbow, then his leg. Josh screamed with every bone breaking, and so did I. I felt so hopeless. I just had to watch how his body broke, how he suffered and screamed. Blood was guzzling from his mouth and nose. The strange bruises multiplied within seconds. I just held him, telling him we will be all right, and prayed silently. All of a sudden, he slapped me so hard I got knocked across the room and almost passed out. He screamed as his right arm flung wildly in the air. I just sat there on the floor, trying to get back to my senses. Then Josh sat up. For a second, he looked at me with a blank expression. A flash from outside lit up the room and his face. It didn't look like Josh anymore. He jumped out of the bed and started running, crawling around the room in an inhuman frenzy. He flipped over the nightstand. He tore open the cushions and the mattress. He punched the window and broke it. He screamed like a rabid animal. With his left hand, he choked himself, and with his right hand, he tried to tear away his left from his throat. Then he went back to thrashing the room. He hit the lamp, and it got pitch black. I could only hear him, rampaging and screaming, the noise getting closer to me. Flashes of thunder lit up the room. I could see him getting closer. His eyes were... I felt something hit my body hard, then my head. His hands tore at me. Without thinking, I grabbed something solid, maybe a piece of wood, and swung it in his general direction. I hit him again and again until his screams became muffled and turned into gargling and moaning. On all fours, I crawled out of the room. I grabbed a flashlight and quietly sneaked back in. It was a total mess of broken furniture, torn up books, feathers from the bed, and shards of glass. Then I saw him. He sat on the floor, leaning against the wall. His face was covered in blood, and he was barely breathing. Tears started swelling in my eyes. I lit some candles, hoisted him on the bed, and laid him down.
I'm sorry.
He had a hard time speaking. I tried my best to get a grip of myself.
It's okay, Josh. It's okay. But I'm gonna have to tie you down.
I got my and Josh's belt to tie his hands to the bedpost, and I used a sheet to tie down his legs. As he laid there, I tried to take care of the wounds I had given him. I think I broke his skull. It was strange. There wasn't just blood, but thick black and yellow liquid oozing from his head as well. It looked like pus. I tried wiping it off, but it wouldn't stop. It looked so terrible. What the hell was happening to him?
Jenny, I'm so scared.
Hang in there, Josh.
It's weird. I have strange thoughts. Like they're not mine. Like I'm being pushed out of my mind.
I didn't know what to make of it at the time. As I managed to wipe his wound more or less dry, I discovered that his skull was indeed split open. I had to bind it. But there was something. The candlelight made it hard to see. His tissue was permeated by little orange, yellow, and blue vein-like threads. They looked like little roots of some kind, curling, spreading through his flesh. They continued under his skin, down his neck, and farther down. They almost looked like rhizoids. I started patching up his head.
Jenny, Stop.
Josh.
Just stop, Jenny. I ignored him and continued. Jenny, he moaned. Hold still, Josh. Jenny, I...
His body started shaking again. He was screaming and gargling. I tried to hold him down, but he wouldn't stop. Blood started flowing from his nose, his mouth, his ears, and even his eyes. His screams got so loud, I couldn't bear it. I tried my best, but I realized that no matter what I did, this was happening. I let go of him. His body was ravaged by spasms so violent, it looked like he was possessed. His head looked like it was going to explode. The veins all over his body ruptured, drenching the sheets and me in his blood. I screamed. The little vein-like roots grew through his skin. They came out from under his eyelids and covered his eyeballs, putting more and more pressure on them. His screams became unnaturally deep. All of a sudden, his left eyeball burst, then his right, sending thick red liquid spurting across the room. I couldn't look anymore, but I couldn't turn away either. I couldn't do anything except for watch my beloved Josh go through unspeakable agony. His gargling became less vocal. It was muffled by the black pus coming from his mouth. His body let loose, and he sank back into the sheets. Some spasms here and there. And soon, he just laid there in his own juices. A bloody, broken mess. Motionless. Silence. And without breathing, I sank down onto my knees. Everything was so weird, so unreal. I couldn't feel anything anymore. Without thinking, I got up and walked over to Josh and untied him. Then I took the white cloth that was draped over the nightstand and put it over the bloody, pulpy mess that was once Josh's face. I covered him as I tucked him in. Then I left the room. I went over to the sofa in the living room and just collapsed. Everything went dark. After what seemed like an eternity, I slowly opened my eyes again. As I regained consciousness, I remembered some horrible things. No. It couldn't be. I'm sure that was a nightmare. It's just not possible. I'm sure Josh is... My eyes fell upon the dark figure sitting in the chair in front of me. With a loud scream, I sat up. Suddenly, I was wide awake. That man, or thing, his body slimy and dark, a blood and pus-stained white cloth covering his face, just sat there, without moving.
I remember,
he said in an unnaturally deep voice, speaking slowly.
I remember Mom baking cookies. I remember playing with my dog. How my dad died, holding your hand, and I remember being Josh. But I'm not Josh. What am I?
I closed my eyes, took a deep breath, and opened them again. You're a fungus. I couldn't believe what I was saying myself, but it just came out of me. You took over Josh's body, attached yourself to his nervous system. You infected his brain. That's why you can access his memories, why you can talk. That's why you know what he knows.
Such an organism is unheard of. How is this possible?
I'm not sure. You might be a punctual mutation of the ant zombie fungus.
Possible, but unlikely.
They repeated. Yeah. There's another option. My guess is that you've been around for quite a while. You've attached yourself to large insects and such. but most of you went extinct. For some reason, you alone survived in this cave.
How?
I don't know.
I almost completely destroyed his body. I was able to walk over here, but now I can't move anymore. I'm paralyzed.
Yeah. Yes. I guess it's the first time you tried taking over a higher mammal. You were even able to reach consciousness. But Josh tried to fight you, and too much got damaged.
So, I failed.
Yes.
Fascinating.
Yes, it is.
I started to cry silently. The horror of what was sitting in front of me was just unbearable. But all I could think of was Josh.
He did love you, though.
I looked up at him. What did you say?
He loved you very much. He was just afraid of the commitment. But he really wanted to be with you. He was actually planning on asking you to marry him on this trip.
What?
Have a look in his backpack. There, at the bottom, you will find something for you.
I did as the fungus told me. There, at the bottom of Josh's backpack, I found a little black box, and in it was an engagement ring. As I saw it, I started to cry.
Thank you,
I said to the fungus. I put the ring on my finger, and for a brief moment, I imagined myself living with Josh happily ever after. Then I took a deep breath and got up. I took the shotgun from the wall and a box of shells out of the cupboard. As I loaded the gun, it asked,
"What are you doing?"
With tears still flowing from my eyes, I said, "I can't let you live."
"No. Please. I promise I won't hurt anyone."
"Look what you did to Josh," I screamed.
"That was not my intention. It's just my nature."
"Exactly."
"Please, just, there must be some other way."
"There isn't. You will spread. You will take more lives. You will either wipe us out, or they will discover you and try to weaponize you, and then you will wipe us out."
"Please, it's not my fault. I'm just following my instincts."
"Me too." I cocked the gun and aimed for his head.
"I don't want to die. Please,"
he begged.
"I'm afraid."
"I'm sorry," I said. With that, I pulled the trigger. I blew his head straight off. The room was dripping with pieces of skull, blood, and slime. Then I went into the shed to get a huge can of gasoline. I poured half of it over Josh's mutated body. The rest I poured out around the house. I lit a match and flicked it on Josh's corpse. The fire took a hold of it in a matter of seconds, and then it spread through the living room. I watched the flames grow taller and taller. I heard the wood creaking and breaking. I just stood there, watching my Josh burn away. The smoke made it hard to breathe, and it was getting quite warm. I was waiting for something to make me leave. Suddenly, there it was. My instincts kicked in, and I left the house. The little cabin was completely ablaze. I watched it for a while. Then I started walking down the road, praying that this specimen was the last of its kind. Somebody had to make sure this wouldn't happen again. I knew they were not going to believe me, but I had to find out where this thing came from, how it works, and how to kill it. The orange glow of the fire lit my way for quite a while. Then the stars became visible,
It was so peaceful. I followed the road for a couple of hours, as I weirdly thought of going back to college after witnessing the most horrible thing ever. I could already see the small city lights flickering on the horizon.
At The Ohio State University at Newark, you're more than just a number. You're a priority. From the moment you apply, we recognize you as an individual and are committed to supporting your success. Our small, intimate class sizes foster close connections with professors who offer mentorship and guidance at every step. The campus is not only beautiful and easy to navigate, but also fully equipped with residence halls, a bookstore, library, gym, cafeteria, free shuttle services, and free parking. Visit go.osu.edu/NewarkApply.